Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Willie and D. Mace, hour number two here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Titans training camp underway. First practice was this morning. We are joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, and we are glad to be in conversation with him. So, Hutton, it's football season. We made it. We made it through all of the downtime, all of the offseason, and it's time to count down to another great year, and we've got some things to chew on the field.
No doubt, Willie. Good to be with you guys. Hope all is well. And a day where it doesn't really feel like summer, right?
Yeah, it actually was pretty pleasant out there. Clouds are so, our friends.
Hey, football's back in some form right now. You know, every year there's a buildup to camp opening, and then there's 3 or 4 days where it's, you know, glorified walkthrough. It's more than that. But it's more or less a carryover from OTAs and minicamp. When the pads come on, that's when it feels like football season, right?
Yes. Did you happen to catch any of Jamal Adams there at his press conference?
Yeah, I listened to it.
What was your first impression? I hadn't heard from him in a while. I was intrigued by how he answered the questions.
First impression, leader. Honestly, I the mindset. You know, he's what, roughly 30 years old. It's exactly from that mentality, I think, especially with something to prove, they wanted to add a safety like this. Now, he's not going to play the same type of role that they might bring in Diggs for, whatever. But Jeffrey Simmons is the leader of the football team. And now you've got some veterans around that they've added this offseason, and they've mainly been on offense. It's another defensive leader that's been in this type of system and knows the type of the play that's going to be asked of him if he's going to make the roster, right? So I think you've got a veteran like him who is driven to prove people wrong coming off of what's been an injury-riddled right side of his body, really, and still has a passion to play. I love that.
He will be 29 when the season gets going in mid-October. And
he's banged up. I think every injury but one, Willie, has been on the right side.
Yeah, and he sort of said his surgeon told him it's going to take 2 years. So he's hoping that this second year back from the serious injury that cost him all but one game, he got hurt in the first game 2 years ago, and he basically said, I tried to play last year. He kind of made it sound like it and then he got injured again after that. So, but he kind of said he didn't feel like himself out there, and he was trying to sort of beat the clock.
Yes.
I do wonder what this year will be like, but I do like how he shared how introspective he was and how he sort of had to say, look, I got to reevaluate. I got to reassess my whole life here because I can't do what I was doing. And he had to sort of persevere. Perseverance was the word he used.
And he's going to have to persevere through a younger league. And he had to speed up the process because time's running out on the age deal there and the injury history if he's going to continue doing this. He's made some money. And sometimes you see guys that are that banged up. Just, you know, they've had a good career and they realize where they are and they've set up their family for future generations. That's awesome. I just like the mentality of bringing a guy in like that who's trying to get another year to play the sport that he loves. There are guys in the league that and everybody in certain cases, you love what you do or you don't. Some guys are just great at a sport. They don't truly love it. Like Jarrell Casey admitted that. Like he didn't watch football ever. He was watching HGTV. That's all he watched. And that's cool, but like he's really good at what he did. There are other guys that just want to keep playing the sport that they have played their entire life because it is truly their passion. I got that, again, first impression from Jamal Adams. And we've also seen, and Mace, you can certainly attest to this just through guys that you've played with or guys that are trying to, you know, get that one more year or two. They realize in camp when their body's feeling the best that they don't really have it. And we've seen Nate Washington comes to mind. I think he went to New England and then he realized that he wasn't going to be able to make it through the year. Like certain things happen this time of year, realizations or not. I hope it works out for Jamal Adams.
Yeah, I hope it does as well, Hutt. We're talking with Jonathan Hutton Withrow, Hot Mike. Talking Tennessee Titans, they just opened camp, had their first practice today. Looking at Adams, I see this more of a leadership signing.
Yeah.
I truly do. Yes, I know they signed Snead and Awuzie, but I don't think they look at them in a way that they sort of looked at a Kevin Byard. I think he's the replacement for Kevin Byard. And I'm not talking from a play standpoint.
Right.
Because obviously he's at a point of his career because of the injuries that his play has diminished. But I'm talking about the leadership. They talked so much about how much of a leader Byard was last year. And then you end up trading him. And then what did we talk about? You losing leadership. Byard was their leader. Well, they're bringing a Byard type of leader back into that locker room, which they need, because frankly, I don't think you can not say count on the guys that you brought in via free agency on the defense to be leaders. I understand that they are going to be in their own little facet, but they need a guy like Adams because he's sort of in that mold of a Kevin Byard.
And they need a veteran back there in the secondary that's going to be able to get things addressed, situated,
make the calls
at the line of scrimmage for the different sets, right? Like, and you know, you've got potentially a rookie with Gray doing that with the headset and his helmet, the leader up front of the defensive line. Corners can lead, but I mean they're on an island,
exactly,
right? So you've got to have that type of player. And look, you're right from the play standpoint because he's going to be playing more close to the line of scrimmage, overhang really. He mentioned in his comments about, you know, trying to change the position that he was playing and all that. I mean, that's where he is, you know, in his career. So is he an every down guy if he makes the roster? No, but he's more than that. And I mean, look, why wouldn't you bring a guy like this in on a prove it contract, 1 year deal? Carthon mentioned that yesterday. It's a prove it year for him, and they had a, you know, if not a heart to heart, it was a truth to truth moment when they acknowledged that, and he decided to sign for that. Yeah, that's great, and he's scratching and clawing like everyone else right now.
This is a whole reshuffling of the secondary, Hutt.
Yeah.
How do you think this new look secondary? Because the only returning starter obviously is Hooker. Because yeah. McQuarrie is your slot guy. He's going to be a starter when you go into three wide receiver package. But if you're just in base package, we know who the starters are. But how do you think this secondary will fare? Because you're talking about everybody still, they got to get acclimated with one another. And you're talking about four new voices in that back end, or at least three new voices.
Man, think about the upgrade, though, in talent.
Yes.
On the front end of this group, Mace. Now, they don't have the NFL depth at that spot yet. They've added a piece in the draft. They're trying, you know, they have to rebuild that. But what they've done is address the top end tier talent of what they could bring in on the premier type corners that are now. Snead comes to mind. By the way, just a side note, because I mentioned Snead, to me, what stood out today, just thinking through who practiced, you know, that you've got Tavondre Sweat, Stonehouse, and L'Jarius Snead. You know, we're not sitting around waiting on players that they've brought in.
Right. It's not a Julio Jones. Exactly. Okay, Julio's here. He's not practicing.
So, Mace, you mentioned like just the cohesion and the communication, and they've brought in players who know the coaches, these veteran coaches that are across this coaching staff, and guys that are putting in the time. You know, like that's the other part to it is while Adams may not come in and just plug and play for safety next to Amani Hooker. If you've got the players there that recognize some of these calls and what they're doing, they've been there, done that in multiple systems, that should pick up faster with a pace than say, maybe you bring in a couple pass rushers who are coming off an ACL injury, and you have to slowly integrate them into the defense and hope they're ready for week one. They're going to play in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They said that yesterday at the presser. So, I mean, they're going to do everything possible on both sides of the football to make sure that they get the most out of week one through week four, that early part where I think you start to see things build as the players pick up on what they're being asked to do.
Now, Will Levis was on earlier, and he had a lot to say, maybe even too much to say, but it was a great interview. He was open and honest with his comments and his assessment of himself. But he did talk about how the difference, one of the differences for him this year as opposed to last year, is he knows he's coming in as a starter. Last year, he was splitting reps as the second guy. This year is his job.
Yeah.
Do you think time on task will be the biggest change for Will Levis moving forward? Because that time on task should help him, become the quarterback or make the progression that we feel he needs to make this season.
I'm hearing all the right things from him. Mm-hmm. He's seeing all the right things around him now, that more attention to the offensive line. And what we saw last year, the discussion all offseason, there's momentum. There's certainly positive outlooks, at least in the local market, for what Will Levis can bring to this team, because we still don't know about Levis long-term, but we don't know about Levis long-term, despite what we saw last year with how bad the line was, the receiving core, and how depleted it was. It's the opposite right now at the receivers at that spot. And, he's got a new – every possible spot that could be quarterback-friendly was addressed in some way offensively. Even with the mentality of the overall team, with this quote-unquote new era, new look approach, where they go away from the bell cow backfield to quarterback-centric. It's all on him. Even if he was going into the season last year, Mace, as the starter, mm-hmm. he wasn't the focal point. It was Henry. Now it's quarterback. It starts at the snap instead of at the handoff. And that's the biggest difference in the takeaway. And he's got Ridley, Tyler Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins, and other options that should be progressing if the coaches come in and, flip what they're doing. If they have half of the type of success rate that we've seen with Bill Callahan, for instance, we should see an uptick in certain players. And they should see that automatically because of attention paid to better players that are starting ahead of them in this three-pack that they've added.
You mentioned earlier, and it was touched on in the press conference, if people were listening, with Jamal Adams, that there's still speculation that they could bring in another veteran defensive back. Quandre Diggs played with Jamal Adams in Seattle for a while. He's had recent success as an older player. And, to be honest, it's more of a veteran team. We've talked a lot as a theme this week, Hud, about how little base talent there is at 25 and under on this team that they drafted and developed, that they're working from a big deficit there. So they're going to need to compensate with veteran players. Is Quandre Diggs the answer?
Well, and Diggs, I believe, played for Denard Wilson, did he not? Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, I'm trying to think through.
He played for a number of years.
Maybe for a stop or somewhere. Yeah,
he played in Detroit and Seattle.
Detroit, Seattle. So he's familiar with some of these coaches that they've brought. And look, here's the thing. They do need the veteran presence that can be on the field and will be used in the certain, not just certain packages, but in some cases, being able to cover on certain routes, running backs out of the backfield, tight ends, because of how aggressive I think Wilson's going to play this defense, especially at corner where you're on an island. But the pressure of the defense from the way it's been described and the way they executed where Wilson has been not just up front. I've always thought, front to back, but being able to get the receiver off the mark on the outside, the top wideout, and then paying attention to the second and third options where you may not have the matchup that you truly trust in every single down like you should be able to do if you're the offense, but you have the matchup where you feel comfortable in the short to intermediate routes that you're going to be okay. You're going to make the tackle. You're going to be in coverage. And then you also have these guys that are going to come up and play the run. But now with the quick look offense and how fast-paced everything is, I think they want someone that can acknowledge, especially what – I mean, exactly what we're going to see from this offense with two backs, where you can split out some of these backs at the numbers. You can play them inside. All the motion, the pin and pull that Callahan will use at the offensive line, it's different than what we've seen in the past. And I think that has to, that goes more to can certain players acknowledge and make sure the younger players that have been brought in to acknowledge the lack of depth across this roster help them grow as the season progresses. And I think it's a lot like, Willie, what we'll see in the passing game, you know, the stages of progression for Levis and the receivers, where, you know, you go from the individual drills, even in practice, individual drills, stack that to 7-on-7. Then you get to the team, and then you build on that, where right now they're more or less going through and picking up where they left off in OTAs. Then as we get to pads and after we get to a week or two, we're going to see them go full playbook. And I think that's more or less what they're trying to do defensively with some of the calls. They need to add one more if they can.
We had an exercise yesterday we did about what will the Titans look like over the next 5 years. There was a good podcast on MMQB where they did a vote on who will win the next five Super Bowls. There were 20 teams that didn't get a single vote. Now, this is to win the Super Bowl, so this is to do everything. There, you can be successful and have good runs and good teams and not win the Super Bowl.
Right.
There were 20 teams that didn't get a vote. Not surprisingly, the Titans didn't get a vote. But as we look at the roster, where they have tried to spend a lot of money on veteran players to compensate for the fact that they had those three whiffs on the drafts, right? Yeah. 2020 yeah. through 2022. It's a weird way to build it. I really hope that they can overcome the fact that this isn't the perfect way to build a team, but this is kind of what they inherited, and they're going to try to make a go of it.
And they were limited picks. You know, they could. Yeah. It's not like they could just go young and build through the draft the way certain GMs or since Floyd Reese have been able to pick up with 10 to 11 picks in some cases. You know.
Yeah.
You can't just do the complete overhaul. But they didn't just pick guys up off the street that were middle of the pack free agents either. You know, they made trades. They were aggressive. And I think that just goes to the mentality of Amy Adams Strunk. She's said it many times. She wants to win. She doesn't handle losing very well. We know that. I like that if I'm a fan of the team. I like the mentality. And, you know, it's coaches and GMs now have about a three-year window. You know, the chatter in Minneapolis, in Minnesota about what J.J. McCarthy better stick and play well for that coaching staff. It's tough to do the five-year outlook in the NFL. How many times was Kansas City mentioned? At least two more times in this exercise?
Oh, everybody had them on the list because they just have so much faith in Mahomes and Reed.
Mahomes, yeah. And
5 years is a long reach, right?
That is 5 years for every year Andy Reid is asked if he's retiring. You know, the 5 year outlook is tough for a lot of. I'm surprised it's 20. I thought it must be less than 20, more than 20 not receiving votes. Because I mean, it's tough on many of these coaches and the turnover. It's hard to bet on many of the quarterbacks that are just good, not great. And, you know, that's where the Titans are right now. I'm not shocked by any means.
Right. And 7 of the last 10 Super Bowls have been won by Mahomes or Brady. Brady with two different teams. So
And prior to that, it was Brady, Manning, and Roethlisberger that were representing the AFC.
Yeah, the AFC, especially when you look at the quarterbacks in this conference, is a bear. You have to bring a lot to the table here. Yep. So there's a lot of challenges for this new group in this new era. We'll talk about it week to week with you, Hutt. Thanks a lot for coming on with us, and we'll see you out at the practice field, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah, I look forward to that, guys. I always look forward to this chat.
All right, sounds good. Jonathan Thank Hutton, you. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. When we come back, we'll get into some more. We have a bone to pick with Jared, and we're gonna talk about it next in this whole. And this goes right along with the saying, you're trying to build something here. Where does DeAndre Hopkins fit in this puzzle? Because it's an important question. Jared has his thoughts. D-Mace has his. And the Avengers might have to come into play here. They just might have to come into play a little bit here. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Willie and D-Mace brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. As Bobby Brown is able to come in a little bit late.
I like that.
Still get the job done.
Everybody's talking.
How big was this album? This album was huge back in the day.
He had the Gumby back then. The haircut.
Yes, he did. He did. Oh, don't get me started on Eddie Murphy doing Gumby on Saturday Night Live way back.
That was funny. Oh, man. Yes.
Okay, so it's time to get to a conversation. And this actually started on Monday. Jared came back from vacation.
It's good to see Jared back.
Yeah, he's back.
Looks
in
healthy.
The flow. We've already heard him ask a few questions at the press conferences today.
He looked refreshed.
Yeah. He brought up, hey, what would you – he just tossed it at us before we – before he went on the air as we were leaving, and he said, what would you do with D-Hop? Would you re-sign him to an extension now? Mm-hmm. And both of us, our first answer was no. But Jared has really tried to explore this topic, and he's been on the record of saying they should. Now, DeAndre Hopkins, after all of the hoopla last year where he signed the two-year deal to come to the Titans, after 1 year, I think you would have to say he did exactly what you would hope.
It was a win.
He would do.
It was a win.
75 catches. Nothing spectacular. It was not a league leader kind of thing. Nothing like 2017 DeAndre Hopkins or 2018 or 2019 when he was catching 100 balls and among the top guys at his position in the league. He's not quite that player, but he's still a really good pro. The question is, as you look ahead – on a roster that is very thin on young talent, how much do you want to double down on the veteran players that you have? Mm-hmm. So let's play the clip that Jared used to try to bolster his argument from one of the all-time great GMs, Bill Polian, formerly of the Bills, and then most recently for Titans fans, you probably can relate to him when he was a longtime general manager for the Colts, won the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning era, all of that stuff. Here's the clip that Jared had to. Here's the clip that Jared played from Bill Polian, and he used it in the context of D-Hop. But then that's where we're going to sort of pick this apart a little bit. But here's what he said on his show.
But you also have to say, as a GM to the owner, and I've said it on a couple of occasions, once they get to free agency, once we go beyond the start of the season, you have to assume he's leaving, or you're going to tag him one way or the other. Simple as that.
That was Bill Polian, Hall of Fame general manager, all those years in Buffalo and Indianapolis. I think he's got a little bit more experience doing this than we do. Again, I know Paul has such an issue with the fact that I listen to former general managers, and I'm like, you know, that's a pretty good point made by that former general manager. And he's like, they're former general manager for a reason. I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to Rick Spielman and Bill Polian and Floyd Reese. I'll listen to those guys because I think they've got a pretty good idea. So we're talking about re-signing DeAndre Hopkins. And let that cut. Ian, let's play that cut again, because I think it's very important for people to hear. This is what? How long? 14 seconds?
18.
18 seconds. And I want you to remember this cut, because this is Bill Polian, who's got a gold jacket. You don't have a gold jacket. I don't have a gold jacket. But this is Bill Polian, and I want this to be burned into your brain when similar situations like this DeAndre, like last year's DeNico, when these situations come up, this is reality.
But you also have to say, as a GM to the owner, and I've said it on a couple of occasions, once they get to free agency, once we go beyond the start of the season, you have to assume he's leaving, or you're going to tag him one way or the other.
Okay. So by the way, I do
this
have
is
a,
where I have the problem.
I do have a gold jacket. Yeah. It's not the NFL Hall of Fame gold jacket, but for the Predators, yeah, I do have a very loud gold jacket.
Willie does have a gold jacket. Yeah.
He's qualified.
Yeah, he said you don't have a gold jacket. I do have a gold
Willie
jacket.
Willie does have a gold jacket.
Just for the record.
I can vouch for that.
Happy Gilmore has a gold jacket.
Yeah.
He does.
You have a gold shirt.
I do have a gold shirt on, yeah.
There you go.
Am I qualified?
Okay. Yes. Well, so, all right, D-Mace, I'm going to throw it at you because the Avengers, they got their guard up a little bit with this because there's some flaws in the argument here.
Yeah, there's big flaws. I don't know what the context of the conversation was. That's the
because
biggest flaw.
This was not Jared asking Bill Polian about this current situation with DeAndre Hopkins.
Absolutely.
This was a philosophical quote from Bill Polian.
Oh, we don't even know, but we don't even know
what the question was at the time.
The actual question was, or did were they talking about a specific person? Because the way he answered it, I'm going to tell you what I thought, what I was thinking. He's talking about a young guy. He's talking about a guy that is a first rounder possibly.
Yeah, maybe on the way to a second contract.
Exactly, on the way to a second contract. Those guys,
that's what it sounded
like to me. Bill Polian is absolutely right. If you have your guy that has shown you the ability to play this game at a high level and you don't want to go through the hassle of potentially, you know, him going to free agency and you know he's going to be a part of your team for the next, or you want him to be a part of your team for the next 4, possibly 5 years, then what Bill Polian said is absolutely right. 100% right. You sign him now because once he hits free agency, all bets are off. Not
right.
that you can't
either
sign
that
him
or
back.
You're going to tag him. You're going to use the franchise tag.
Or tag, yes. Yeah. And you can't use the word tag if you are asked that specific question about D-Hop. You can't use the word tag because nobody in their right mind would tag D-Hop. Nobody in their right mind would tag D-Hop. Not because he's not a good player, because he's an aging player. They're not using tags on aging players. I don't think I've ever seen, at least, well, let's say receiver. I don't think I've seen a tag put on a receiver after the age of 30, 31, 32. I haven't seen that. So when he was asked that, I want to know what the question was to him specifically.
Jared has texted me. I guess we can call this.
Yeah.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Uh-huh. Get the sponsor.
Yeah, because he texted us. Yeah.
He said the context was talking about Dak Prescott and CeeDee
exactly.
Lamb.
So we got to take it, Jared, we got to take it off the table now because the contract is about, the talk is about CeeDee Lamb, who's going into his second contract. So, yes, if you let CeeDee Lamb get the free agency, he's gone. Somebody's going to pay him a whole lot of money.
Tag.
Unless you use the franchise. That's where the franchise tag comes in. Listen to people's words. Listen to their words. He said tag. They don't tag 30, 31, 32-year-old wide receivers. They just don't do that. If you do that, you got to lose an organization. If that's happening. So in this situation, I'm not saying, and I don't think nor Willie is saying, don't sign him back or don't think about signing him back. But there's no benefit to signing him back today. There's no. What if he goes out there and pulls a hamstring? Because right now, he's in that 32. He'll be 33 next year. What happens if he gets injured? Now you're on a hook for this money. What happens if Treylon Burks starts to show you that, okay, after that third year, okay, he has it. Now you didn't sign this other guy to this big contract, which is Calvin Ridley. Now you brought back another aging wide receiver in D-Hop. Now you got to try to sign Treylon Burks. It doesn't work that way, especially not at the wide receiver position, okay? Maybe at the quarterback position, maybe at the defensive end position, but not at the wide receiver position. They're not looking to hurry up and sign 32, 33. And again, I'm not saying don't sign D-Hop because I know a lot of people say, oh, he's saying don't sign. No, listen to my words very carefully as I listen to Bill Polian's words very carefully. I'm not saying don't sign D-Hop, but there's no benefit to signing him right now unless you're getting him at a bargain basement deal and you want to sign him now.
I'll take it.
Yeah, if you want to sign for,
team friendly, I would consider it. But I
pay you $10 million next year to be our wide receiver.
I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't. And I'll
see, Willie wouldn't even do that. I think that's a deal for a guy like him.
Because I'm trying to build a winning roster. Uh-huh. I got to get younger in the coming years. I need to create space for maybe the first round pick at wide receiver next year. As you kind of said, Calvin Ridley will be a year older. He's going to be going into that low 30s. I can't have a 32, a 33-year-old receiver on there. And DeAndre Hopkins has done everything that I hoped he would do in year one.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping he'll do it again this year. I'm also wanting to keep the possibility that if things go a certain way and DeAndre Hopkins is productive and I can get a decent draft pick for him at the trade deadline, I want that to be an option. I'm willing to let him walk if that's what happens. The franchise is not going to sink or swim on having DeAndre Hopkins at age 33. If it is, then there's a lot of surprises coming one way or the other this year. But there is no reason, there is no incentive to signing him now. Let him go to free agency. Let him walk if that's what the case is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he really likes it here,
he'll stay.
He'll stay. And you can work on that. You have him all the way up until the day of free agency.
Yeah. Here's an example for you. And everybody knows how much I like Mike Evans. I wanted him to go. Mike Evans was my number one receiver. He was. And for what some strange reason, everybody else didn't think he was. I don't know why. You don't watch football. This guy's a stud, and he's been a stud for 10 straight years. He redid his deal at the age of 31. They redid, they restructured his deal. A two-year extension, $41 million, 2 years. That second year, 25, is not guaranteed. Not guaranteed whatsoever. 24 is guaranteed. You know how much money he's making? Say in that 25. Let's just say in that 25. You know how much money they're giving him? And we're talking about a guy that is on the way, that is on his way to a Hall of Fame gold jacket that had a hell of a season last year. He was one of the top receivers last year. You know how much they gave him? They gave him $18 million base salary. Now, it's some bonuses in there that they're going to give him. But you're talking about a 31-year-old wide receiver. They waited until the season ended and then end up signing him back. He wanted to be in Tampa. They said, okay, we want you, but this is how much we're going to pay you. Okay, let's get the deal done. They're paying him $18 million. They got him for about what it would cost. If he would have hit the open market, he probably would have got this or a little bit lower. This is what he would have got or a little bit lower. Tampa waited, and they did the right thing because they knew he wanted to be in Tampa. So they worked out a deal and an extension. Even though that 25 is not guaranteed, the 2025 is not guaranteed, but they still waited to after the season.
Right. But
that's a guy that you would sign early. Why? Because his production is still high.
That's what I was getting at. Let's remember that DeAndre Hopkins did a nice job last year, but
exactly.
That was not any earth-shattering kind of season that has you thinking you couldn't possibly replace that production. He just had just over 1,000 yards in 17 games. That's not anything great. It was steady. Mm-hmm. It served its purpose.
Exactly.
But you need to grow out of that. You need more than that.
And then you talk about
to tie up money 2 years from now. For what he might be at that point, no.
That
you're looking to draft something better. There's also a T. Higgins that could be out there if you want to go big. If you're going to make a big investment.
He'll be a free agent next year.
He will be a free agent next year if you want to go that route. So you want to keep flexibility. You don't want to tie yourself down to a roster that is very much in flux, right? You've got to find a way to build a foundation. You are low on talent. To double down on the 30-something wide receiver, it'd be one thing if you're in a window trying to win,
exactly.
You're not going to be there. You're looking for an avenue like Treylon Burks maybe takes through. Like maybe he takes another step somehow. If not, I got to draft a guy early rounds. I got to have space for him. I'm going to have Ridley, right?
Yeah, you got Ridley for the next 3 years at least.
Yeah.
Well, so this year and 2 more years after that. But
it all comes back to this. Uh-huh. I'm not ruling out that you would have him on the team in 2 years. But there's absolutely zero incentive to do it now. None.
And I heard Jared say this. And Jared, correct me if I'm wrong. You said yesterday that this was a rebuilding for the Tennessee Titans, and you may in fact be right about that. I think
I've been saying it
all. I think
they're
in this sort of you know, it's kind of weird space.
It's a rebuild.
It could be a rebuild, but then it seems like they're trying to win because of the free agents that they brought in. If you are in a rebuild, as you said, Jared, why in the heck would you sign a 32-year-old wide receiver to a third contract or a second contract for you? A guy that's going to be 33 next year. Aren't you trying to get younger? And I know you said, well, he's built up a rapport with Will Levis. You got that right. But that's why they got Calvin Ridley. It's a segueing thing. We're trying to stagger these things. Okay? They went and got Calvin Ridley. Why did they go on Calvin Ridley? Because they needed a number one guy. They needed a flat out. They needed somebody that could run, a number one that can run. They got who they believe their number one is that can run. Okay? Why then would you try to hold on to something else? Aren't you trying to get better as you go? And again, I'm not saying don't sign D-Hop, but why are you in a rush to sign him now? That's my thing.
Right.
You can sign him after the season.
You
and you may
options.
Even get him less for less after the season. Why sign him? Because you want the guy that Will Levis. You want that guy to be Calvin Ridley. Why? Why do you want that to be Calvin Ridley? For this reason. Who's going to be in the NFL longer? Calvin Ridley, if there's no injuries, Calvin Ridley or DeAndre Hopkins? Calvin Ridley, because he's younger. He's going to segue into that stadium, hopefully, with Will Levis. That's what you want. And then hopefully Treylon Burks and the guy you draft next year, because they're going to draft your receiver in the first or the second round next year. I'll damn near guarantee you that, because they need a young stud to go along with Will Levis, if indeed Will Levis shows that he's the guy this year. So why again would you hold on to an aging receiver? He's a good receiver, but he's aging. There's no reason to sign him to an extension today. Again, I'm not saying that you can't sign him after the season, but there's no reason whatsoever, no benefit for you to sign him right now.
And we'll end up with this. To play a clip from Bill Polian that was not a question about DeAndre Hopkins is not fair to Bill Polian. It's one thing for a GM can say, my rule of thumb is when I let a guy go to free agency, I kind of know that he's probably going to test free agency. That's a rule of thumb. But every GM would tell you that every case is different. A specific question about a specific player in a specific year on a specific team would probably get you a different answer, or could get you a different answer. So I can't guarantee that Bill Polian would feel any different than you and I feel if he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins. Would he sign a 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins to an extension before the season started for next year? I don't know. But I would like to hear that, and not a question that was asked about a different player. So on that, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour, and we've got a lot more football talk going on the first day of Titans practice for training camp 2024. Stay tuned. Wrap it up, hour number two. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. During the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Jeffrey Simmons. He took the podium earlier today. So we don't have a whole lot of time for this segment here, D. Mason. Of course, Jared has been texting me, so I know he's been listening to our argument. He's not buying it. He's usually he also, and I heard him say this on the air yesterday, if you heard his show, that the Titans allowed DeNico Autry and Azeez Al-Shaair also to walk. And, of course, they end up on Houston, which is going to be something to watch this coming year. My point is, this is a rebuild to me. Mm-hmm. How many older guys do you want on the team? Like
That's
this
what
is,
I'm saying.
Now, the problem is they just don't have the foundation of young players to play. So they had to do something. This is where Chad Brinker said earlier this spring, he said, we don't want to get into a habit of doing what we're doing here, and that is just pour money into unrestricted free agents, because you're getting veteran players, a lot of times flawed, and they cost way more. Their price is high, right? Unless you're shopping at the bargain bin, and that's not easy. That's Jamal Adams, right? You're hoping that you catch lightning in a bottle and he's able to rebound. The chances of it happening are are not great, right? And when you're paying for a guy in the later stage of his career, you're hoping that guy stays healthy, but you're paying a lot to do that. Mm-hmm. It's going to jack up their cap in the coming years if they're not careful about that stuff, right?
Yeah, you can't.
So it's a tricky spot. Like, I love DeNico Autry, uh-huh. but he's not – whether you have him or not is not where you're going to sink or swim. It's you have to try to find those foundational pieces, and they're really low on that right now. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to surround Will Levis with some guys that can help him succeed. You're hoping that your offensive line can get fixed. These are way more priority than are you going to have DeAndre Hopkins on the team or a different veteran? Are you going to have DeNico Autry on your team or a different veteran? Those guys are largely interchangeable to get down to it, right? Every year there's going to be another crop of free agency. You got to figure out what your budget is. But the priority is find the young talent that's going to be your base of your roster. That's 10 or 15 players mm-hmm. that you're trying to build around. Those guys aren't in that category.
No, they're
Hopkins
not.
Is not.
I mean, listen, there's been other situations or other examples that I can give you. Ray Lewis was a free agent one year. Baltimore, you know, they didn't re-sign him during the season. They waited to after the season. Why? Because he was in his 30s. He had dealt with some injuries. Was he still a damn good player? Absolutely, Ray was still a damn good player. But smart organizations do smart things. They waited to after the season, and they signed him. People thought, oh, Ray's going to go somewhere. Ray wasn't leaving Baltimore. He wasn't going nowhere. Baltimore knew that. And they waited to after the season to re-sign him. And it worked out. They re-signed him. He continued to play good football. They ended up winning another Super Bowl. Story ends well. Why are we so quick to want to sort of re-sign? Because what I think the Titans is they're doing, they signed Calvin Ridley for a reason. Because they know eventually, like D-Hop, they're going to segue out of D-Hop. So they needed a number one guy. You know, they got their number one guy who they feel. Now, again, there's not this dire need to sign or to have D-Hop. If they didn't get Ridley, then yeah, sign D-Hop back because you need him. Because you don't have a number one. But they have Ridley. So you're not that desperate to sign an individual too early. Again, I'm not saying don't sign D-Hop. Why not just wait until after the season? And then you can get a better idea of where he's at in, as far as his age and everything else. If he still looks like he can go, then okay. Re-sign him to a year, two-year deal. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, we gotta end it on that. But I will say, too, what's the better pathway to having a good team? Re-signing Hopkins or leaving space for Burks to emerge and be a part of your future? That's really the better way, in my opinion.
And even if Burks doesn't work, you can draft somebody.
And that may not happen. But I don't want to make that decision right now. I want to wait and see how it plays out. If at the end of the year I see that Burks is a wash and he's going to be gone, then I can react accordingly with D-Hop. Mm-hmm. But right now, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what Burks is, but I hope Burks gives you something and gives you hope. You need young players. You can't win with 35, 36-year-old guys in football.
Tell me, just show me quickly. And again, I hadn't looked all the way, but I did look at some of the free agents last year. Name me a 32-year-old wide receiver going on 33 that has signed a big deal or whatnot. Give me a few teams or sign a big deal early. Let's just say early before the season starts. Teams are not in the business of doing that. Teams are not in the business of re-signing 32, 33, 34-year-old wide receivers before the season starts. That's organization malpractice right there. Again, I'm not saying don't sign D-Hop back, but why not just wait and see what your receiving core is going to look like or what it looks like this year. You find out what it looks like this year based on their play during the season, and then you could reevaluate that and say, hey, listen, either we're going to move on from D-Hop or, yeah, let's re-sign him. And, hell, he may get more money because of that.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll hear from Jeffrey Simmons. Big Jeff, leader of the team. That's what Brian Callahan called him yesterday. Not just the leader of the defense, but now with Derrick Henry gone, he calls him the team leader. Let's hear from him when we come back. He took the podium today, first day of training camp. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.